with education and employment outcomes also falling short of acceptable levels. Chief Executive of the CREATE Foundation, Jackie Reed, says more needs to be done to ensure young people in out-of-home care can successfully transition to adulthood.
Instead of treating our most vulnerable in this really archaic manner with this eject button at 18, I think we have to reframe it. We've just got to stop saying transitioning from care, because nothing could be more absurd. We need to say transition to adulthood, transitioning to interdependence, but certainly never from care. They need to be able to have the option of staying with their current carer. We have a campaign that CREATE's been supporting, which is the Home Stretch campaign, which basically has young people staying with their carer until they're 21, which is much more aligned with, you know, what we know about the general population being able to stay home and be supported.
An Aboriginal land claim has been resolved in the Kempsey Shire of New South Wales in what the council says is an historic agreement. Alex Durante has more.
The Stewart's Point community, north of Kempsey, will install a sewage system after a recent septic spill and resolution of a long-standing Aboriginal land claim. Earlier in the year, residents of the town were evacuated after the water table rose during flooding, resulting in a septic spill and widespread contamination. The plans to establish a new sewage system had been delayed due to the unresolved Aboriginal land claim. Now, the Kempsey Shire Council and Kempsey Local Aboriginal Land Council have struck their first ever deed of agreement. Kempsey Mayor Liz Campbell said this agreement is historic and will enable the council to progress the sewage treatment plant that is so vital to Stewart's Point. She said this is a fantastic example of how an Aboriginal community and the broader community can work together to benefit everyone.
We'll have sport coming up next.
Keeping our families and communities safe from COVID-19 is important. If you are living with cancer or had it, it's really important to get vaccinated. Talk to your local Aboriginal Medical Service or healthcare service about getting your free COVID-19 vaccine. Help protect yourself, your family and community. We all need to stay COVID safe. For further information, visit the Cancer Australia website at canceraustralia.gov.au.
Program sponsor.
Here's sport with the ABC's Louise Ransom.
Former Essendon captain Brendan Goddard has criticised the AFL match review panel following the two-game ban handed to Gold Coast's Nick Holman for a tackle on Geelong's Mitch Duncan. Holman ran down Duncan and grabbed his arm as he was kicking in what some have described as a textbook tackle, but Duncan was left concussed after his head hit the turf. Goddard has told ABC Sport the suspension is embarrassing.
If he was to sit out two games for something like that, like he must be so confused, and not only him but the rest of the players around the competition.
Western Bulldogs midfielder Adam Treloar requires surgery on his injured ankle and will miss up to 2 months of footy action. Treloar has had his leg caught in a tackle in Saturday night's win over St Kilda and will be out for 6 to 8 weeks. Bulldogs ruckman Tim English and midfielder Pat Lipinski are in line to return for Friday night's match against Melbourne.
That's the latest national Indigenous news.
Charles World Vacation Care is open throughout all school holidays with action-packed fun, educational outings and activities, making holidays a holiday. All excursions and buses are free with all meals included. It all happens in a safe and secure environment with trusted, qualified educators. For as little as $12 per day, Charles World will pick up, drop off or meals prepared by qualified chefs. Numbers are limited. Call 4045 4045 now.
You will love Charles World Vacation Camp next to Bentley Park College.
Station sponsor.
Not sure who to turn to for legal advice?
Want someone who knows what you and your mob need?
And need to find someone you can trust? Call Marawa Law.
They are the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm and the legal advisor of choice for government, business and traditional owner groups in the commercial and Indigenous law sector.
They are 100% Indigenous owned and help their clients with the right advice in native title, joint ventures, leasing, property and lots more.
Visit marawalaw.com.au or call today on 07 404 130 88. Choose a law firm that understands you.
Marawa Law, station sponsor. Little things, big things grow. From
little things, big things grow. Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues,
comments and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bummerbrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn with Deadly Sister Judy Enoch, Supports Coordinator with Noombai Community Services Indigenous Corporation, and talk about the IYCC, that's the Indigenous Youth Connection to Cultural Program. On the line, Judy, good morning, sis. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Thank you for having us on the radio show this morning.
Now, that's too deadly, my sister. Thank you very much for coming along. First of all, let the mob know who your mob, where you from, Judy?
I'm a Cookie Allenji, Juru, Jabbagai, Takalaka woman, with all our links.
Yes.
It's not one or the other, eh? It's all of them. So, yeah,
too deadly.
Relations, right across North Queensland, of course.
Exactly, yeah. My sister, too beautiful. So you're the Supports Coordinator for Noombai Community Service Indigenous Corporation. Tell us about Noombai first, and we'll talk about the cultural program in a second, but tell us about Noombai Community Service Indigenous Corporation, please.
Yeah, Noombai is a community service that's been operating since 1975. All our elders, strong elders, they in the, the years of self-determination, put together the organisation for the benefit of securing, good quality homes and affordable homes for Bummer people.
Yes.
And making sure that services were being delivered and on the ground so that, our mob in Coranda will be looked after and are looked after. And so Noombai has expanded its services to include a whole range of programs.
Mm.
Not only do we have the housing, but we have lots of community programs. We have the aged and disability program.
Yes.
We have construction.
Gee, one-stop shop, sister.
Oh, yeah, we're trying, yeah. And we have the AOD, we have all sorts of services, and we have a Centrelink agency as well as emergency relief, all those good things that enable, our mob and also, people across the community to be able to access services that would not otherwise be our little town of
Coranda. Yeah, so true. And look, big shout out to your deadly team there. It is a team effort. Now, talk about this beautiful project, Indigenous Youth Connection to Cultural Program, IYCC. Tell us about that, please, sis.
Yeah, well, Mariba, we have other sites of programs in Mariba, Atherton and Mount Garnet. So we have the aged care and disability services being delivered in those other sites. So Mariba alone, we work, of course, in partnership with Mullingoo Medical Centre, who was invited to apply for this funding in order to do a research project. And the Indigenous Youth Connection to Culture program is all about building youth resilience, and it's by connecting them to culture.
Yes.
And by having strong supports on the ground, so that it's a program that's run by the people for the people.
Yes.
Meet the needs of the people. That kind of approach. And so what we've been doing since the rollout of this actual program, and by the way, Mariba was one of four sites identified in Queensland,
mm-hmm.
so as being of high risk and needing such support on the ground and to identifying what are the needs. Mariba, Doomadgee, Palm Island and Cherbourg are the four sites in Queensland, and across Australia, Perth, Geraldton, Pukajah, Katu, Alice Springs, Borroloola, Nullumboy, Nullumbwa, and Kempsey have all been identified as sites, that need this kind of sourcing and this kind of, support on the ground to identify what are the actual needs and what issues are impacting on people's ability and families' ability to be able to move through a lot of, crises and other hardships that they're experiencing, which, of course, impact on young people.
Exactly. I see this program as a fantastic tool vehicle to hone in on getting our young ones on the straight and narrow, you know what I mean? They just took a detour, so to speak. Let's get them back on track and let's paint that picture for a bright future, build a strong foundation, yes? Mm,
yeah, and you know what it is that young people's voices aren't being heard. And so what this has meant for us is that with the opportunity that's been provided, have community consultants that are on the ground that are Burma people from Mareeba,
yes,
from Karanga, that have got family networks all across Mareeba, going out and they're interviewing in the homes and they're basically asking what are the social and emotional wellbeing questions that need to be asked and about community development.
Mm.
You know, what does culture mean to them? What is their understanding about how do they build, you know, and strengthen their own cultural, social and emotional well-being, how to engage with youth, how to engage, yes, with families, what's in place, what's working, what's not working, what are the gaps, what's needed and what needs to happen and who needs to be involved in maintaining that there's a sustainable way and a long-term strategy to make sure that youth voices are being heard as to what they need to have their strong, you know, their strong, strong and resilient whole persona. Yeah.
Look, it becomes a table where the young ones can also speak as well and regarding tell us what you need, what's going on, how can we help? Yeah, two-way street and an open conversation as such, a deadly yarning circle, you could say.
Yeah, absolutely. And we started a workshop off, even though we've been interviewing family to family and having focus groups with young people, with the elders and with the family parents and that.
Mm.
We started our first workshop, which was last week in Mareeba, and that was down in Yamba Park, you know, right there in the heart of,
yes,
where Aboriginal people, all the Burma people were
together,
put on,
yes,
the fringes of Mareeba, yes, town. Yeah, so we started that. We had Preston Campbell, who Mullingu actually brought in.
Oh, beautiful.
And he shared, you know, some of his own story and about his own journey, just to, you know, say, look, guys, we're on the ground. We're all here to work together and support each other.
Mm.
Now, tomorrow we've got another workshop, and this one is with the youth and their families. So we've got that, and basically asking the questions, it's going to work. What do you think is needed?
Mm.
You know, how are you feeling? What's your journey? And how can you be supported better? And what do we need to make sure is in place so that you have tools and you're fully equipped to be able to deal with the pressures of life. But not only that, but to be able to meet their future, you know, to be able to walk strong,
yes,
in their own personal journey.
And I see it as a, like I said, a two-way conversation, two-way street. And we're not there as elders, growling them, picking any of them young ones. It's about talking to them, not at them, yep?
Yeah, absolutely. When we had a group of young people come together last week at one of the workshops, we, you know, the things that they identified is the greatest support networks and their greatest support, you know, foundations was, of course, the family.
Mm.
But you can't do anything without that family support and that,
exactly,
strength within the family. And so we've got to support families,
yes,
so that they can maintain that strength. And some families, as you know, are struggling. And so, and of course, it all sort of, we have the family system is, the youth are impacted by this, of course. And so there is a two-way street, you know, there is a,
exactly,
two-way street.
And it just shows you how powerful family is, and we as First Nation people, Burma, you know, we've got the answers to our questions, to our solutions, to our problems, and nothing beats black on black, sister.
Oh, that is awesome, yeah, because that is so true. And the youth have the solutions, so do their parents, and so do their siblings, and so do the elders, you know, their grandparents. They're
exactly,
all got the answers, and so this is what we're trying to capture. Now, next week, we have another workshop, and this is with the holders of all Mareeba services. So they've been invited to congregate together and come together, and let's discuss some of those nitty-gritty questions that,
yep,
need to be asked, and just see how what's working. They can do their little analysis about the strengths and the weaknesses, but also see it from the views of what the young people are saying as well,
exactly,
and see how we can collaborate, you know, to make sure that we are not allowing any gaps to and any child or any young person and any family to go through those gaps.
And all hands on deck. It sounds like you got a fantastic team of people there working with the Noongar Community Service Indigenous Corporation there. And it is a team effort, and we've got to get it together ACES.
Can I just say that the Mullaridgee TOs, you know, all the tribal owners up there, they've been really strongly, you know, they're so glad for this project. And we've got engagement on all levels from the Mullaridgee, them TOs. And you know, they're actually saying, we need this and we want to see more of this. So, they're very strong support on the ground from the tribal owners itself.
Which is very important, sister, very important.
We anticipate that on the 22nd of June, we're going to be able to come back with all the stuff that community have been saying.
Good.
What stakeholders have been saying, and we want to present it back to the community at Yumba.
Yes.
Down there where Mariba, you know, those fringes where all them old people gone. I think of all our elders, you know, that were dispersed.
Yes.
And how they picked up along the Granite Creek. So Yumba, where the Mariba Strong community sits today, is actually the place of where, you know, before any settlement, you know, the Mullaridgee people had been sitting strong and working strong and walking those lands, talking those lands, keeping the culture live and well. And it's right there that we come back and then we present this report and say, hey, what do you think? What needs to be tweaked here? What do we need to change to reflect it better? And then get their approval before it goes anywhere to government, and it goes with the blessing and the support of the community. Before it's actually handed in. And what the government is saying, this is the National Indigenous Agency of Australia with Ken Wyatt at the helm, is what they're saying is that they expect that there's going to be more resources back to those communities that have been identified. So, you know, we want to keep them and hold them to account for that as well. And they've been brilliant. I mean, our local NIA staff have been, you know, they're always so supportive and always want to see communities supported. And so,
well, the old saying, takes a community to raise a child. So we all need to have hands on, be at the table and go forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we expect that, there's going to be more resources provided to Mariba as a result of this report so that, you know, they can employ their own and also have those kinds of set up where the youth are saying, the families are saying, the elders are saying that what we need to support our young people better.
Yeah. Too deadly. Look, beautiful. Congratulations. Fantastic. Please do keep in touch. So the Indigenous Youth Connection to Cultural Program is up and running, and Noongar is doing their bit in regard to looking after our youth. Thank you very much for sharing, Judy Enoch. You're too deadly, my sister. And big shout out to your Noongar team there, sis.
Oh, look, thank you very much. And the team says thank you. And we look forward to more conversations. And,
yes.
And if you're available on Tuesday, the 22nd of June, it'd be great for you to come down and join us at Yumba Park in Mariba.
Sounds good, my sister. Please flick us the details and lock that in my diary, my sis. Love to join your mob.
Yeah, it would be great. It would be great to have you out there.
All right, too deadly. Thank you.
Good on you, bro.
Bye-bye, sis.
Bye-bye.
You too. Judy Enoch, fantastic support coordinator, Noongar Community Service Indigenous Corporation. They look after the Karanda and Mariba mob and look a fantastic group of people there and running with the IYCC, Cultural, Social, Emotional Wellbeing, Indigenous Youth Connection to Cultural Program. Fantastic. And our mob, working with their youth and putting them on the right track. That's what it's all about. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416, National Talk Black with Trendy Trev. Murray from the Curry, too deadly.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Tender, humble ways, hypnotized by the beauty my faith and hope in this world and humanity. You're a beautiful, humble woman, sit down here in the sky, full of love and kindness. You're the angel of my eyes. You make me feel like I'm a child running in the cold, cold wind. My arms stretched out so wide, believing I could fly.
Troy Cassidale here, you're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Hey, very good morning, you Deli Bob. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Trendy Trev here, Murray from the Curry. I'm coming here strong from Wurundjeri country here in Melbourne. I'm here for the at the Cassidale Conference, National Conference. Back to the Fire is their theme. And look, lucky enough to talk to Auntie Dr. Desina Fergie, OAM, who's come to join me for yarn. A very good morning, Doctor, Auntie. How are you?
I'm really well. Lovely to talk to you, Trev, and also to all our listeners.
Hello, you mob. Hello, you mob. There it is. Fantastic. Thank you, darling. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Mm-hmm. I'm a proud Wootatee, Aboriginal side, Mabiog Island, Torres Strait Island side, and Umbanese heritage.
Beautiful. And that's a fruit salad. Nice mixture there. darling, Auntie, you're one of the founding members of Cassidale. So tell us about this this beautiful vehicle. But actually, let's talk about your career, background nursing and midwifery. Tell us about that journey, please.
Well, my journey started many years ago. Well, it'll be almost 50 years since I began. And I have had the wonderful opportunity of being a nurse, then a midwife, maternal and child health nurse, and I specialise in women's health, diabetes education and immunisation. So right across the board, Trevor, it's been a wonderful career. And I've also had a management job. But more recently, I've had the opportunity to become an academic. And I did my my doctorate, my PhD,
yes,
on postnatal depression amongst Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women residing here in Victoria. It was a wonderful study, and I met a lot of people. So through that, I'm now, would you believe, as of a couple of weeks ago, retired.
No,
but, you know,
you're too young to retire, Auntie.
Us black women, we can't retire.
Exactly.
So I'm saying I'm retreading.
Retreading, I love that. Beautiful. And look, so very, very important. And look, a woman's job is never done. And you wear many hats. And look, the letter up, you know, well, as a doctor, but OAM, to be recognised by the country for the work that you do. But, of course, you did not do any of your work for any letters after your name as such. Mm-hmm. Passion from your heart and culture strong for your people, yes?
Yes, that is quite correct. I didn't go for the qualifications or the title. I wanted to serve and support our mob because I had really good ancestors who modelled that caring attitude,
yes,
and who guided me when it was really hard at school and
well, when we were young, we didn't have many models, no models at all. You see, initially I wanted to become a doctor, and I had good marks to become a doctor, but, you know, I felt unsafe. And when I saw our mob working as cleaners at the hospital, that's where I felt safer to pursue. And so my studies and my family really encouraged me. I went to and did my nursing and then my midwifery. You know, cultural safety, wherever we are, is really, really important, because in the organisation, we suffer racism and discrimination.
That ugly word, racism, always raises its ugly head. And I was just going to say, Auntie, as an elder in so many years in this industry, early days, racism would have been front and centre, would it not? I mean, how did you, you know, crocodile skin, I would say, how strong were you to go through all that and continue and become successful in your industry?
Well, it wasn't easy at first, Trevor, because you're scared. You're fearful. And then you remember, you know, the stories of old. You see the model of your people, and you think, no, I need to be really strong in this area, and you gradually build up your confidence. I mean, that's how CAPSANAM, or the Congress of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nurses, started.
Yes.
Because we Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander nurses were doing it tough, and we were isolated, and we needed to come together to form a body in which we could not only support each other, but have a voice in order to change the system.
Exactly. And, look, success breeds success. And you probably didn't realise it then, but you were paving the way for other brothers and sisters to come forth in this industry, yes?
Well, many have gone before me, and I can't take any of the accolades. You know, our organisation was started by Dr. Sally Gould.
Yes.
And many who've gone even before her, who encouraged her to, she has had a lot of drive, Auntie Sally, and from there we've blossomed. And now we have Professor Royanne West, who is the new CEO for what is now called the Congress of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nurses and Midwives.
Yes. Look, and I think of a beautiful elders example here in, up there in Cairns. My beautiful mother's sister, my mother with me in spirit, Louisa Norina Raymond Tim, her beautiful sister, Auntie Janet Dow, and also think of Auntie Lou Priest, who just became a life member of CAPSANAM, and also Auntie Dulcie Pitt, all in Cairns, and beautiful ladies, and leading from the front. So a very important vehicle in regarding, when we're talking about nurse and midwife, we're talking about giving life.
They're giving life. And, you know, we had so many Aboriginal midwives who weren't qualified under the Western system, but they delivered our babies all those generations and cared for our people. And, you know, I want to stand and acknowledge them and honour them today, because they are our forerunners that give us energy, gives us spirit to push ahead.
Exactly. So this beautiful vehicle, CAPSANAM, Congress of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nurses and Midwives, is a powerful vehicle that can support, that do support and steer into the future our young up-and-coming nurses and midwives, but also an advocate for our mob, and speaks up to government about this vehicle and protecting our nurses and midwives coming through.
You know, when Dr. Sally Gould, I'll call her Auntie Sally Gould.
Yes.
She was the lone ranger who sat there, and she had a very, very strong voice, sat at the table and said, we must do this. And she made government listen.
Yes.
Now we have developed in which we actually sit at that table and we hold our own space and through pioneers like that. So Royanne actually sits at the peak body place that actually influences our mob's health.
Yes.
Right there at government.
Yes.
Sitting there, talking to ministers, being in a strategic place. Now, they all started as nurses and midwives.
Exactly.
Such an important role.
Yes.
And we need more nurses and midwives, boys and girls, who actually come on board. But, you know, Trev, we also need to
know how to support them when they're at university.
Exactly.
Or at TAFE, wherever they're doing nurses, if they're enrolled nurses, you know, to stick at it in their study.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that we are in a Western education system that highlights Western knowledge. We need to come as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and say our knowledge, our culture is also important. We need to speak into that vacuum and say, here we are.
Exactly.
We are visible. No longer are we invisible.
Exactly. Powerful. And that then sets a strong foundation for our young brothers and sisters coming through this industry. And also, like, hats off to Professor Roy Ann and the work that she's doing as CEO of CASANAM, not only at the national level, but also international. And in her keynote notes there, she did state the fact that she's at the international table as well. Mm-hmm. So global, First Nation people here in this country, nurses and midwives in this industry, are front and centre on the international scale as well.
Yes, and a few years ago, CASANAM had a conference in which we invited many overseas Indigenous nations who are nurses and midwives, health workers, to come to our conference. Oh, it was absolutely magnificent, where they modelled the exchanges of gifts.
Yes.
And where we networked so that we could comfortably go over to where they were and learn from them as to how they are dealing not only amongst themselves but with the system.
Yes.
So we can grow in our knowledge too. Wonderful time.
Yes. Yeah, beautiful.
International is really, really important.
And look, it's just a benchmark and to the future ahead. The future does look bright. They say there's no light at the end of the tunnel. Go down there like the buggy yourself. Well, Professor Roy Ann, she is doing that. Look, a fantastic conversation. Very, very nice to meet you, Dr. Auntie Decina Fergie, OAM.
It's a mouthful, isn't it?
And you deserve it. You deserve it, all the titles, my darling. And thank you very much for the yarn. All the best to you. And as I said, you are too young to retire, and you will be working for your mob and for us as a whole in your retirement anyway. I know that, sister.
Thank you, Trevor, for having me.
Too deadly. All right, stay tuned. You're my bad. Trendy Trev here, Murray from the Curry, coming here live from Melbourne, Wundjeri country, and here for the CASANAM conference. Back to the fire is the theme. So stay strong, stay black, stay deadly, and be back soon. Listen to these messages and deadly tunes coming your way. Too deadly. Well,
Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Late night and I don't feel like coming home. I need a little company, I don't want to be alone. I took a look around that velvet sea of red. I take my pick tonight instead of my aching bed. So much for loyalty, no cure from a bottle of rum. The circle of our love has come undone. Forget about the past and judgments that were made. Tonight I'm gonna call a spade a spade. A head full of trouble, a line drawn in the sand. Pushing the boundaries, I'm in over my head. My own worst enemy, I'm living without care. A broken heart on the mend. I'm my own best friend. Thing I ever do would be standing up and leaving you, but your love no longer completed me. You made it easy, baby, easy as can be.
A head full of trouble, a line drawn in the sand, pushing the boundaries, I'm in over my head. Enemy, I'm living without care. A broken heart on the mend. I'm my own best
thing I'd ever do would be standing up and leaving you, but your love no longer completed me. You made it easy, baby.
Hey, what get on your mom? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Hey, 2 Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Yes, it's I, me, Trev, Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station in Cairns. BVM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. But I sit here on a Wundri Wundri country here for the Casanam Conference. Had a deadly yarn there with Aunty Dr. Desina Fergie, OAM. And going to catch up a yarn now with deadly brother, Uncle David Tanda Copley, who's one of the elders and on the Elders Council chair for Casanam. A very good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. I'm well. Before we start, Uncle David, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yes. So, David Tanda Copley, the Tanda meaning red kangaroo in the language of my people. I'm Ghana and Peramank. The Ghana is on my mother's side, which is the Adelaide Plains, and Peramank on my father's side, which is the Adelaide Hills.
Beautiful footprint.
Yes.
So you're one of the elders on the Elders Council, chairperson you are. Tell us about your position there and about the vehicle you and your directors are driving forward.
Yeah, so Katsunam is moving forward in some new but old directions.
Yes.
We're keeping the original stamp of what Katsunam means for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander nurses and midwives. And as part of that, the board decided that an elders council should be formed, which I am chair of.
Mm-hmm.
And the role of the elders council is to ensure that the organisation keeps a cultural perspective.
Yes.
Because in today's environment, nursing's becoming more technological, midwifery's becoming more technological, organisations have to account more as organisations, and it's easy to get lost in all of that tape.
So you're talking about the foundation, culture must be front and centre.
Yeah.
Yes.
We need to have that cultural backbone because it's about black Aboriginal nurses and midwives. And it's keeping that cultural framework and it's encouraging other organisations to have a more cultural, respectful framework within their hospitals, within their NGOs, within their ARCHO, and to encourage more young people to become nurses and midwives. You know, we only have total of probably 5,500 nurses and midwives in Australia out of hundreds of thousands of nurses and midwives.
Sure, exactly. And then those numbers, Professor Royer wants to increase. And we're having at the front line a lot of young people who are signing up to become nurses and midwives, and we're talking a big amount of numbers, are falling out, one, because of racism, two, because they feel they haven't got the support. Well, that's what Katsunam is here for.
This is what Katsunam is here for. And I'm kind of lucky that I wear two hats.
Okay.
I wear the hat with Katsunam, but, as I said, from South Australia, I've moved to Victoria 6 weeks ago to Bendigo.
Okay.
To a brand new role of Indigenous Academic Advisor to La Trobe University Rural Health School. And part of my role, apart from looking at curriculum and that, is to look at not only how we can attract more students, but how we can make sure they graduate.
Yes.
And that's a big thing. I don't want 30 of our young people coming into university and 5 only graduating.
Sure, we need to pick up the
numbers. If I've got 30 coming in, I want 30 to graduate.
Exactly.
So as a university and working with Katsunam, we will work out how to do that.
Well, I think that Katsunam is showing the way for all peak bodies for
yeah.
First Nation people in this country is to be their front and centre for support for all our black people who go down a pathway in that industry for that particular organisation. Casam's leading the way regarding support.
Yeah, and it's true. I mean, I know when I started nursing and then I did my mental health nursing, it was a tough journey and, you know, and my brother here is darker than I am.
Yeah, brother. Yeah.
And I get things like, you know, the racist stuff. And it's
yes.
Overt racism, you know.
Because you've got that light skin, they think they're talking to a white fella.
Well, how much is black?
Yeah, well, there you go.
Why do you want to identify as Aboriginal?
Yeah.
I like a white cup this morning and thought I would. You know, that's the COVID racism.
Sure.
That Katsunam's working towards, and as a university, we're also working towards. So I've really got two hats, which is really amazing
yeah,
that I now have the ability to work with our young people to get them through.
Sure. And look, it's still a long way to go. When we're talking about closing gaps, that's closing a gap in the education, in the university spectrum, you know, for whatever industry that our people are studying in. Racism needs to be stamped out, you know, and I know that CASNAM is a tiger with teeth.
That's it. You know, one of our mottos is racism stops with me.
Yep.
And it's about educating Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and non-Indigenous people around what racism actually is, because they'll go, I'm not racist. But, and there's always that big but, mm-hmm. You know. Look, the classic example I've seen travelling
mm-hmm.
is, and I challenge people to do this, go to an airport, to the taxi rank, and look for the businessman in the suit with the briefcase. And he will let taxis go by because he's looking for the white Australian taxi driver.
Is that right? Yeah, thank you.
You know, it's just watch, and it's really...
That's racism right there.
Yeah, but he's not saying nothing. Let them go. There we go.
Yeah.
You know, and like that one, because it's the white Aussie...
Driver. G'day, Mick Dunley from Australia.
That's it, yeah, you're beauty. So, and that's the sort of stuff that's that covert racism that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people deal with every day.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
It's quite often it's not in your face with the organisation you work at or the people you work with or government policies, whatever.
Yes, it's exactly.
That covert stuff. And catching them is right onto this.
Exactly. Well, it's stamping it out. That's right.
Yeah.
And look, it's a strong body in regard to the vehicle driving forward and protecting and looking, supporting our up-and-coming nurses and midwives. And so you're saying you're a nurse, and how long have you been a nurse?
So I've been in health now for 30 years.
Yep, okay.
Yep, and I started off working in the disability field, then went to general nursing, and then went to mental health.
Okay. And where'd you get your passion from? You had uncles, aunties, cousins, sisters, brothers that go before you?
Well, no, it kind of grew on me when I started to have friends around me get really sick and they weren't looked after. Or you'd go to country towns and you'd see, you know, these unwell people in the streets, and I went, nah, there's something wrong with this.
Sure.
And that's where, and then I think as I got older and I went, we have all this grief and loss and mental health stuff. And, I mean, we all go through it.
Yep, we do.
I was put into an orphanage for a while as a kid, you know.
Yeah.
We all go through it. And I thought, nobody's dealing with this the right way.
Sure.
So I went into...
As a black man, you said, I can make a difference here.
And we can change how we look at talking to Aboriginal people.
Mm.
Because it's not so much about their depression. It's what I call their distress.
Sure. And nothing beats black on black.
No.
And when you have a patient dealing with a black nurse, midwife, doctor, what have you, they're more open to, well, that's good medicine.
I think what it is, and this is what I tell my students, is the system's not, the training in the system at the moment, this is not good. Because we train doctors and nurses and psychologists and whatever to say, I'm Nurse David, but we don't tell your patient any more about you.
Whereas
that's our way,
we
communicate.
As you said,
who's your mole, where you're from,
connected, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I tell my students, Indigenous or not,
yeah.
You've got to make a connection. If you want me to give you a story,
yeah.
Instead of just saying you're Nurse Jane, you can say, I'm Nurse Jane, hey, I've worked here for 5 years and, you know, I've got two kids.
Sure.
It doesn't have to be a lot.
No, sure.
All of a sudden I shared a bit.
Uncle David, what you said, before I give you this medication, this is me.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah, that's it.
The bridge builder.
And the other thing that I've used in terminal clinical practice a lot is narrative therapy. None of the fancy other stuff, just narrative therapy.
Yep.
Tell me your story.
Exactly.
I don't care where you start.
Mm.
Tell me your story.
Mm.
And this is what Katsunum's about too.
Yes.
This is getting our founding members, our current ones and our new students coming in,
mm-hmm.
tell me your story.
Sure.
Let's build more stories.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, and it's the story between us mob that makes it all strong and helps towards our well-being.
And look, as Professor Royan has said many a times, when she mentions the word CASADAM, she talks the acronym Congress of Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Nurses and Midwives, because when she says CASADAM, people say, who's CASADAM? What's CASADAM?
Yeah.
So she gives the full title.
That's
and
it.
We're educating the people of the world that CASADAM is here supporting our black nurses and midwives in this space.
Yeah. And it's our other role is to go out and say, hey, you're an Aboriginal health worker. You're deadly at what you do.
Yes.
You want to be a deadly nurse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Take your career pathway, move on, step up.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to just because somebody said you're only a health worker.
Yeah.
No such thing.
No.
I went to a conference some years ago and I'm walking through and they went, I have my Aboriginal top on, you know.
Mm-hmm. Represent.
And they said, I didn't know there was health workers coming to this medical conference.
There you go.
And I turned around and I don't do this often and I went, no, but I'm a keynote speaker and I'm not a health worker.
Thank you. There you go. Exactly.
And I
gave my card with all my
credentials on it.
Yes.
Which I don't do often because
I'm trying you to bring it out.
You know, and there's no such thing as just a health worker.
No, that's right.
Look at the role you do.
Exactly.
But take that, become a nurse, have a bigger role.
Yeah, exactly. Look, powerful words, a beautiful story. Thank you very much, Uncle David. Tanda Copley, all the best to you. Thank you for sharing with us. And being an elder on the Elders Council as the chair, I think it's a fantastic vehicle, and success to you all.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you to your listeners.
To Deadly Mob. Look, thank you very much for tuning in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, here on Wundjeri Country, here in Melbourne, and here at the conference. They're continuing their journey, their series of conferences. I started in Cairns back in April, and the theme back to go back to your mom and like.
I have a dream. We can now Yes, I have a dream. We can now live together as one. But it's only a dream. Yes, it's only a dream. But it's only a dream.
Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Down city streets, I would roam. I had no bed, I had no. Crawl out of bushes early morn. Use newspapers to keep me warm.
Across Australia, this is Adam Evans with the National Indigenous News. 31 countries have called on Australia at a recent United Nations meeting to raise the age of criminal responsibility from 10 to 14 years old. Central Australian Youth Justice Network Chairwoman Kristen Wilson said the response needs to be multifaceted, starting with more support services to prevent Indigenous children ending up in the justice system.
We need to have a multifaceted response to those young people that isn't just targeted at young people that are getting in trouble, but is actually targeted across the board at all youth in our community to ensure that there's services and engagement programs that are able to keep young people engaged and active and as active participants in our community and our society.
Many people have expressed concerns over a lack of consequences if the age is increased. However, Ms. Wilson says when children are sent to prison as young as 10, they end up on a trajectory to get in and out of a youth detention centre and then in and out of prison throughout their lives. A new report has found Australia's child protection system is out of step with modern life and is failing our young people when they leave care. Around 45,000 Australian children are currently in out-of-home care, with many in informal care, including Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. The report found children leaving the care system have a 30% risk of homelessness, with education and employment outcomes also falling short of acceptable levels. Chief Executive of the CREATE Foundation, Jackie Reid, says more needs to be done to ensure young people in out-of-home care can successfully transition to adulthood.
Instead of treating our most vulnerable in this really archaic manner with this eject button at 18, I think we have to reframe it. We've just got to stop saying transitioning from care, because nothing could